You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Injured at work in a motor vehicle accident or had a fall in a public space? Speak to Your Claim Lawyers, a no-win, no-fee personal injury claims law firm that specialises in maximising compensation claims for injured people. Call 1-800-YOUR-CLAIM or yourclaimlawyers.com.au.
Joining us now to kick off Stumps for this Saturday is their assistant coach, Trent Woodhill. Trent, first off, thanks for taking some time out to chat to us on Stumps.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, obviously, the Stars got their first win. KP starred with a stellar 74. It was announced just a few games back that he'll be pulling the pin at the end of the season. How much of a big gap is losing KP going to be for the Stars in BBLs to come?
Oh, it's huge, especially that he had. The last couple of years, he's been fantastic there. And I think he's been man of the match at least the last two and maybe the last three times there. So that's going to be a big loss. But he's just really good around the group. There's a lot that comes with KP, but what he brings is experience and entertainment, that's for sure.
Trent, what do you do from here? You know, KP's saying he's gone. This is me saying it. I think Luke Wright will be gone. I don't know if he's announced it. There's two or three other guys that probably are coming to the end of their tether. Let's say there's half a dozen all up in that Stars lineup. Yep. When do you start filling those places as such? And talking to people to come onto your roster for next season?
It's a difficult one. There's a weird embargo period where you can enter into non-binding contractual discussions. So basically you can talk to players from other teams, but you can't enter anything that's solid. But it's a really weird one. So I'm sort of looking at next year. But
so
also
can you say to Nims, Trent, we're going to give you 150. But we're not signing the contract, but the deal we would like to put to you in when that embargo's passed is this one, or you can't even go that far?
I don't go that far. I just tend to talk to players about what we can offer at the Stars and also what can they offer the Stars if they're the ones knocking on my door. So you've got time. You've got time to the finals to recontract guys who are already on your list. And then you've got time to talk to people. Then I think from the final game of the final, you then have to cease all discussions with players, and then they'll open up a contracting window where it's then, you know, those non-binding discussions, some become binding and others have fallen by the wayside just because time's taken over. So it's, I don't think it's a great system, but it's the system that we've got at the moment.
Players that are not coming out of contract or are coming out of contract, can you re-sign them during the season to make sure they don't other sides don't get a chance to talk to them in that window?
Well, they can still talk to them, but if you've got someone that you really want to extend, you can extend them during the season. And sometimes that's not announced with some players until well after the season for different reasons. But yeah, obviously, if you've got someone on your list who you like, you try and tie them up as quickly as you possibly can.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm getting at. Is if other sides thought, we think the Stars list, they're going to be out there and they're going to be red hot on trying to get some recruits in.
Yeah.
You'd be going around signing up your best players at all your clubs now to stop giving them the opportunity of having those initial discussions to leave.
True, and that's what we did. And so the criticism that's been levelled at us this season is that we didn't change our list. Basically, we only got Ben Dunk. Jackson Coleman was a supplement player and came onto our list last year. So while he was new to the contract at 18, Ben Dunk was the only player that we brought on who was outside that. Whereas this year we have six or seven, maybe even eight players coming off contract. So other clubs are aware of that. So they might see somebody who maybe hasn't had a good season this year from us that might bounce back. We then have to assess that as well. And then likewise, we have to work out what's our structure. And we extended a couple of years ago on a few players, including KP and Wrighty, based on the fact we thought we were close. Probably should have got a win against the Thunder in the final. and maybe tape it off. But we went to the well with the team that we had. And once they're contracted, you know, it's not like you can delist them through the season, or you can. There's rarely a trade, and you can't trade mid season. So you have to work with what you have in the end.
Trent, how hard is it? Now I know Brad Hodge of the Renegades went and said some comments that didn't get him any favours over in Perth, I could tell you that. But how hard is it the fact that the Stars and to an extent the Sydney Thunder have a bit more of a difficult job considering the fact that, you know, they're two team towns?
Well, it's massive. And Hodge's comments I thought they were misconstrued. They were accurate comments in that the facts show that it's easier for the single team towns to do well because they're with their players all through the season. And, you know, we saw the Sixers have had some success. The Thunder have won, but both have tailed off. You know, the Renegades, it's been a while since they were in the finals, and neither Melbourne team's won it. So all the statistics, and these are just facts. These aren't just made up to make us sound better. But the facts are that single-town teams are having more success, and especially early in the tournament too. It tends to be that halfway through the tournament, the single team towns tend to be at the top of the table, and then the two town teams tend to catch up towards the back end. And that's continuity, relationships forming, partnerships growing. So it's definitely difficult. I mentioned that, you know, that if you go to 10 teams and you try and split it up a bit, that there's only so much talent as well. So I think it's more about spreading the talent and how you do that. People have different ideas, and there's IPL auctions, and then there's draft systems in other sports, and I think that works pretty well so that teams can't warehouse talent. And that's, I think, the competition needs the best 88 players playing every opportunity, and that, you know, the players that come in are of the highest standard as well. That's hard if players feel the need to stay in their own state, and that's, I don't think that's what this competition's about.
From off-field to on-field, good to see you guys getting a win last night. So how do you manage it from here? You sort of had that horror start. You mentioned the two-town teams get more competitive as the season goes on. Mathematically, there's still a chance. Yeah. Is that genuine enough? And if so, how do you manage that now with your players?
Well, definitely after the Adelaide loss, you looked at it and went, wow, you know, 0-5. So you thought, how does the end of the season look like? And it was weird trying to think that way halfway through a competition. So then we got back to basics to make sure that we're preparing against the Renegades from a one game, one ball mentality. And it's an age old expression, but we just made sure that we went to our strengths. It was great being able to have Worrell and Coleman open the bowling. Worrell's been unfit, so we haven't had that opportunity at the beginning of the tournament. So that was a plus. Then Pete got his chance with Luke being injured at the top, and you know, then with Maxine KP coming to support his start, it looked more like the Stars that we know. So it's just making sure that we stay true to who we are and what our list is about, rather than. Then maybe a couple of games there we got away from what we were and what worked well for us in the past.
Trent, one of the things that we see once the one-day international series sort of kicks in, whatever happened at the start of the BBL season kind of gets, well, it becomes irrelevant due to the fact that, you know, the odd team or two will have some ODI call-ups, et cetera, et cetera. The fact that the Stars will actually, it seemed to benefit a little bit since you've got, you know, guys like Adam Zampa and Marcus Stoinis are the only two people that have left, whereas Maxi's in the squad still. Faulkner's still in the squad. You've still got, and Peter Hanscom obviously still coming back from the test squad. It must give the guys a little bit of hope, thinking, okay, well, look, the Perth Scorchers have lost X. The Renegades have lost these amount of guys. We've still got a unit. We're playing good cricket again. You can almost realistically make a charge for the finals, can't you?
Yeah, there's no reason not. And the red flags are if all of a sudden we're focusing on the Sydney Thunder on Saturday night, instead of the Sydney Sixers on Tuesday night. So those guys you mentioned bring a lot of experience. So it's making sure that they're passing on that information and experience out in the middle. There's only so much myself, Flem, Nicky Lewis and Huff can do in training, because we felt like we're trained pretty well. It's about winning key moments in matches. And I said, I think last week, that there was an overswing both ways against the Renegades last game, where Hogg bowled a great over. I think it was the 15th or 16th over against us, which probably should have gone for 15. It goes for a wicket and only four runs, and that sort of takes 15, 20 off the total. Then the Renegades got a quick start. So we're going to make sure that those guys you mentioned really, really enforce that each ball has same significance as the one before and the one after that, so that we get a competitive total, we bat first, and likewise we can pressure the opposition if they bat first.
Trent, I had a look at your coaching career over the last few hours before when we knew we were going to chat to you today, and some of the names that came up that you've been involved with over the journey, in particular the last few years, Warner and Smith here, Virat Kohli, AB de Villiers, Verinder Sehwag. Geez, there's some stroke players amongst them. You must get on all right with those blokes who have a fair opinion of themselves.
All those guys you mentioned, and you chuck KP in there as well, that they've been so easy to work with because they're the best coaches of their game. So they've only ever asked me to look out for the things that they wanted to look out for. And then as the relationship grows, then you remind them of the things that they want to be doing. So then you move on to someone like Glenn Maxwell, who's the last 12 months we've had a lot closer relationship around his preparation, and it's been fantastic. He's doing the things that we'd agreed on. So it's my job then not to try and teach him anything new. My job is to make sure that he's consistently doing the things that he knows he needs to do to do well. And what I'm finding with Glenn now is that he's actually becoming the best coach of himself. And he noticed something when he came back from overseas to us about his technique that he wasn't doing that he'd done in the past. And because he's able to figure that out, he can concentrate on competing and doing the things that he does well rather than it becoming technical. So I've been lucky to a point, and I've had to work at that luck to work with some of these players and to make sure that I'm listening to what they're actually saying so that I can help them do the things that they want to do. And I think that's what coaching's about, rather than always trying to invent something or try and come up with something new to stay ahead of the curve. It's making sure really good players consistently are really good, rather than trying to get really good players even better, which is it's almost impossible for that to happen at an elite level when they're playing so often.
Well, they've got to do it themselves, really, don't they?
That's right. So they need to know they have support, though, that what they're doing is right. And obviously their experience with those players, if I'm saying that I agree with them, they are doing it right, then there's trust. Mm. It's when they're asked to do something different, when they know that doesn't feel right. And that should only be around competition. It shouldn't be around technique and preparation. We use the example of whether it's horses training or whether it's golfers going on the range or tennis players hitting up with their coach. That's the time you want to feel good so that you're at the top of your game so that you can make competition decisions, feeling good about your technique rather than trying to make a technical decision to feel good in competition, which is what happens when somebody else takes you away from what you want to do.
On the topic of just on the topic of Glenn Maxwell, how's he been going with going by his performance last night? I think he's been taking all the attention to him in the media pretty damn well. I mean, a 31 with plus four superb catches. It must be pretty strange considering the fact that obviously I'm guessing he's absolutely gutted that he didn't get the call up, but at the same time, the fact that it's Cameron White, a bloke that he's a Bushrangers teammate and they've played a lot of cricket together. It's a kind of a bit of a mixed emotion, wouldn't you say? How's he been dealing with all the added attention to his game?
Well, Glenn being Glenn, he's happy it's Victorian, no doubt. He's learned to cope with that added attention because he's in a really good place around his preparation. And I sort of bit back pretty hard when his preparation was questioned. And the more we dug into that, the more we realised it was closer to 2 years ago than it was 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. I think he's comfortable with his cricket. He just loves cricket. So he wants to play as much as he can, whether it's red ball, whether it's white ball in both forms. The disappointment is that he just wants to represent his country and he's as hungry as anybody else, be it the captain or the vice-captain, to play for their nation. So that's where the disappointment lies, rather than kicking stones and wondering why it's happened. He just wants to bat as long as he can, feel well and bowl well, and get back in there.
Well, he's had a pretty stellar season, not just for the Bush Rangers, but also for the Stars. But Trent, we thank you for joining us here on Stumps, and best of luck against the Sydney Sixers. Against the Sydney Sixers at the G on Tuesday. And thanks for taking the time to chat to us.
Thanks very much. And Simon, I can still remember your six off Malcolm Marshall full toss at the MCG. And I reckon that's deep in my brain about kickstarting my style of coaching. So glad to finally catch up with you.
Good on you, Trent.
Oh, well done, Trent. That's Trent Woodall, assistant coach of the Melbourne Stars, joining us here on Stump.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.